Turn to the book of James, chapter 3 tonight. Awesome, awesome chapter. I am so happy we're in chapter 3. I don't know if you pre-read it, but it's a good chapter. It is pretty amazing that now we come to another measure of spiritual maturity that is in the believer's speech now. He's going to talk to us about a little member that creates a lot of problems. You ever wonder why God made us only with one tongue? Can you imagine that we had two tongues? We would really be in trouble. But yet, we see that James devotes now a great, great portion of his letter to attack a careless and corrupt tongue because they had a problem in the church where he was pastoring. People gossiping, people misjudging, people talking trash. And he really saw that and it really bothered him. And he makes an appeal. And yet, however, not only for the control of the tongue, but also for the controlling of the thoughts. What you think. What you think in your mind. Very careful with that. Because we need to really bring every thought into what? Into the captivity of Christ Jesus. Because our minds can really wander. They can really create problems. But also the mouth is a very dangerous thing. Because the mouth is connected to what? To the mind. We have to think before we speak. Some people don't do that. But we really need to think about what we're going to say before we speak, or we get ourselves in big trouble. Winsome speech demands a wise source. A wise source. Because both control talk and they cultivate what? The thoughts that are necessary in a human being to be able to speak. And yet from his discourse, James here, speaking on idle faith, James proceeds now to discuss the idle speech within the body of Jesus Christ, speaking to believers, not non-believers. Not non-believers. And that is the failure to bridle the tongue. The failure to bridle the tongue, which is something as disturbing as anything else to those who have faith in Jesus Christ, but no works, it's of no value. If you say you have faith, but you have no works, then, I mean, what's the difference? There's nothing there. True faith brings true works. You see, that's what he's trying to teach us last week as Christians. And yet one's tongue should be able to be controlled. Be able to be controlled. Because small thought, it is a perversion and a pollution. When we don't think about it and then we speak out, we can build up or we can what? Destroy people's characters with the tongue. Such a little member and so powerful a tool. Someone said that a man speaks 24,000 words in one day. But women, 30 to 40,000 in one day. To me, that's pretty amazing because it is true. You know, but it's really something that we really need to think about because as women do speak 30 to 40,000 words per day, yet we spend one-fifth of our lives talking. One-fifth. One-fifth of our lives talking. I was sitting back here and I was thinking just since last Sunday, not this Sunday, but from the last Sunday, I spoken 14 times up to tonight, 14 times in the last 2 weeks. And it will be, by the time Sunday morning comes and Sunday night, I will speak 19 times this week in 2 weeks. Going around the different Calvary speaking when I'm speaking. That's a lot of speaking. But I enjoy it. Because I'm speaking God's word. But if we don't speak God's word and we're only speaking stupidity, think about that for a moment. We're wasting our breath. And we're not building up, we're tearing down. We're infecting people with our lips. Dirty jokes, filthy language. And we're supposed to be Christians. We have to be careful. Because James here is going to tell us that everything begins here with the tongue, sin of the tongue. And because he teaches us, you know, not only to watch what we say, but we have to be careful how we talk, and then at the same time, the way we talk and the way we think. Real important. James has two observations made in chapter 3, verse 1, which is interesting. Number one, he says, don't multiply teaching and don't misunderstand teaching. He's going to start it in chapter 3 to make sure that pastors and leaders, or anybody that is a teacher, to be careful what he teaches or what she teaches. Too much is given, much more is required. That you can be condemned by your words. You can be condemned by your words. And so for me, it's really pretty amazing when you think of the tongue. Because, you know, to lead people astray by giving the wrong information could send me to hell. Could send me to hell. It's a false prophet. It's a false teacher. And yet there are false teachers and false prophets in pulpits all over the world that they speak for God and God's not speaking. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, man, it's amazing. God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, go tell those prophets that I'm not speaking through them. Why are they saying God said? What I did not say. We have to be careful to make sure that it's God speaking. That's why if we're not sure of something, we need to go back and get the information and give right information. If we give wrong information, it can cost us dearly as a teacher. That's why I try to discourage people when they say, I think I'm called to the ministry. I say, you know what? Go get a job and do something else. Unless God really calls you. Unless God really anoints you. Because the pulpit is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's a big place with great judgment. That one day I realize I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to give an account of every sermon I ever preached. And to every person I ever witnessed to. Leading people either to the right thing or leading people to the wrong thing. That's why Paul exhorts Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. It's really important. A lot of people look at the pulpit as a place where, you know, people are looking up to you and admiring you. No, no, this is a place of great responsibility. This is not a place of fame. It comes with great responsibility and great judgment to be in the presence of God, because if God's not really speaking to me and through me, I'm in trouble. I've just deceived people. So it's really important that we understand. Because he's going to start here in chapter 3, verse 1. Look what he says here as he begins. He's going to begin in verses 1 and 2 and talk about the tongue is able to condemn. He says, my brethren. Now, my brethren here is used all over the book of James. 8 times in the book of James, he's talking to who? To Jews in the church where actually James is pastoring. Throughout the New Testament, 51 times. He uses the term, my brethren, speaking of Christians, all the way through the New Testament. And what's amazing here is that here he says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. A lot of times young people will come to me and say, how do I get in the ministry? I said, don't get in the ministry. It's not a good place. It's a place of great responsibility. And yet I think of all of the seminaries, and I call them cemeteries sometimes, because they're killing people. But I think of how many seminaries that used to train people for the ministry, where there used to be 300 people graduating in June into the ministry to become some part of a ministry, whether pastor, teacher, or evangelist, or Sunday school teacher, or whatever. And I've gone back to some of those seminaries today after 20 some years, and you begin to see there's only like 5 or 10 or 15 graduating with a degree in ministry. Everybody graduates with psychology and business. What happened? Times are changing. The mighty dollar. The mighty dollar. People want to make a lot of money. You don't make a lot of money in the ministry. Unless you cheat people and you steal from people, which is a lot of evangelists do that. Enrich themselves with the people of God. They see it as an easy job. By writing letters of deception and by communicating deception to them. And people are gullible and people give. And they always prey on who? On the little old ladies and old men that are retired. Man, Peter has a lot to say to those people. They're going to be judged for fleecing the flock of God. Fleecing the flock of God. That's why it's really important to me to study, to pray, to seek the Lord, so that when you stand up for God, you speak for God and you speak God's word, not your word. What does God say? And here God is saying through James, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Why? Knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. He's warning us. He's warning pastors. He's warning evangelists. He's warning Sunday school teachers. He's warning anybody that's involved in ministry. You better listen up if you're in the ministry. It's not a place where you build your kingdom. It's not a place where you enrich yourself with the people. It's not a place where you use it to abuse it. It's a call of God. It's an anointing of God for people to be in the ministry. It's not a place where you, because somebody's rich, you put them in a place of power. No. Mm-mm. Sorry. It's like Tozer says, show me the oil on your forehead and then I'll do it. The Holy Spirit. Show it to me. That God's anointed you to do the ministry. And then we'll get along. But it's so sad that there are people that do it for money. They do it as a job. And the ministry is not a job. It's a calling of God. A calling of God. It's a sacred place where God calls you. It's not the highest calling either. It's a call of God. Because the highest calling is wherever God has called you to be a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, or whatever it is, a janitor, that's your call. That's your call that God's called you to do. Right there, you have a great responsibility and you need to have integrity. Not just being a minister. Every one of us are ministers. The word minister means what? Servant. We're all servants. We don't use the name Reverend Raul Reese. There's only one Reverend, that's Jesus. I don't even like using pastor. Just Raul Reese, that's it. Because you know what? The Lord is the one that calls. We don't go after titles. And people like titles. They think that makes them super spiritual. And that's not the truth. When we read the Bible and we read like Acts chapter 20, 2 Peter chapter 2, read them. Amazing. Jeremiah 23. The warning against leaders and pastors and false shepherds and false prophets. God will condemn them. God will judge them. God will send them to hell. Because they're deceiving the people of God. That's why we go through the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, so that we can learn everything God has to say to us. And if we don't understand it, we'll wait on it to see what God says. So I really feel in my heart that as we teach the Word of God, and here as James begins his letter in chapter 3, there's a very important warning here. He starts out by warning teachers. what they teach? Are you really called? Are you really anointed of God? Or are you doing it for popularity? Are you doing it for self-glory? Are you building your own little kingdom? Or God has really, really called you and really anointed you? And is He really using you? And who gets the credit and the glory? Jesus. Nobody else. It's sad, but I've seen that in the ministry. Somebody that begins to be used of God and they go through their heads. Goes through their heads. And then you have these guys in the pulpits, you know. I mean, I have an accent, I know that for sure. To me, that was a curse, but I guess that's a blessing for God for me, you know. But I mean, that's since I was 10 years old. Nobody in my family has an accent, but I got the accent. You believe that? And when people don't know who I am and I'm on the radio, they think I'm this little short, fat Mexican, you know, speaking on the radio. And when they see me, they look at me like, what happened? You know, do I surprise you? My mom was born in New York, Long Island. She was a Spaniard. My father is Mexican, German. It's amazing. All my kids are white. It's crazy. And all my grandkids are white. Can you believe that? But it's amazing how the Lord has a sense of humor, you know, that's what I think. And then I hear some guy in the pastor, you know, I hear him on the radio, and you know, they're talking like, you know, he's from Mexico, and he's from East LA, and he's talking all this jive on the radio and stuff, or wherever it may be, to try to get to the people, and yet we need to be what? Very decently in order in the pulpit. Who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to impress? We have to be very orderly and we have to be very correct when we speak. Yeah, we make mistakes. But to talk street to the people, well, I live in LA or I live here and I have to talk to the people. No, no, people are people, man. Who are you trying to impress? That you're cool because you talk like a ghetto person? I mean, seriously, I'm serious. I see too many things, you know? I mean, can you imagine? If I go to the ghetto, I have to act like the ghetto. I'm not going to be myself. What God's called me to do, you know, not start talking all kinds of trash. And people are attracted to that. Some people are attracted to trash. And I think we have to be very discreet when we speak. Pastor Chuck Smith always says this, man. He always says that. He says, look, he says, you don't use the pulpit for your own advantage. You know, you have to be very discreet. You don't talk stuff from the pulpit to impress people. You speak God's word. Just because you want to be contemporary has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. If you're a teacher, if you're a pastor, if you're in a place of responsibility and authority, you need to be careful and you need to fear God when you speak for God. Because God's going to hold you responsible. Fully and completely, the Bible says. Go with me for a second to Jeremiah 23. Let me prove it to you. Jeremiah 23. Here Jeremiah the prophet speaking about these false teachers. He goes on here, and he starts out, he says, woe, verse 1, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, who you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not amended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, saith the Lord God, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and notice, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness, a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteous, speaking of Jesus coming to the Jews. Then he goes on, therefore, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord liveth, and brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord liveth, who brought us up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I laid driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake, and I am like a drunken man and like a man who wine has overcome, because the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of a cursed land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course of life is evil, and the night is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found the wickedness, saith the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways, and in the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, and the prophets by Baal, and caused my people Israel to what? To err. Notice that. The false prophets were lying to the people. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Right after James, you'll come to Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Listen to what he says as he writes his great letter here. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. You know, the evangelists on television, you're crying and weeping and asking for money and fleecing the flocks of God. There it is right there in the book of 2 Peter. Lying to people to get into their pockets financially. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, and marking them as an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly, and deliver righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of wickedness. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or government. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brood animals made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they don't even understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it in pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots in your, notice, in your blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. They're in your congregation. Notice that. Having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease to sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a hard train in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved wages on righteousness, but he was rebuked by his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. for whom they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure you through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, and one who has actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise you liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, and by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them, notice in them, and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it and turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Imagine that. The judgment of God is worse upon them than anybody else. I mean, this is heavy what he says here. So that's why I'm taking my time here in chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. That is, those desiring to be teachers. Make sure it's the Lord and it's not your flesh. Make sure of it. Why? Because according to the Bible, the characteristics of the false prophet, number one, they pervert the grace of God. According to Galatians 1, 6 through 8. They're money lovers, Luke 16, 14. They resist the truth of God in 2 Timothy 3, 8. And they love fables, they love myths and stories that are not true. According to 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. They're deceitful, Ephesians 4:14, and they're lustful, 2 Peter 2:12 through 19. And when they speak, their speech are lies, cursings, enticements, blasphemies, and they speak of earthly things and great deceptions. But they don't speak the truth. But a man of God, a true person that really is called of God, then they have God's righteousness. They have God's wisdom, they have God's word, they have God's truth, and they know the mysteries of Christ, and they have sound doctrine in their lives because they fear the Lord. They fear Jesus Christ, who He is. And so it's really important that when you listen to radio or you watch television or you even read books, make sure you have discernment. Make sure you have discernment. Are they really from God? Do they really love God? Or do they love themselves? Because I guess here James, man, he really had a real problem. Real problem. The word that he uses here for stricter, it means greater. He says, we shall receive a greater judgment than anybody else. And by the way, in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, turn for a second there. Just turn backwards from James. It's Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7, listen to what he says. This is so cool. Remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of the conduct. Speaking of spiritual leaders that really care for the flock of God. And then again, he says it in verse 17. Look what he says. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for what be unprofitable for you. What is he saying? That I'm going to have to give an account to God for your lives. For your lives. When I stand before the Lord. So I have to have fear before I get up in this pulpit. Before I get the programs out on the radio. Because people are listening to my words. And if they're not true words, I am in big trouble before God and before men. So I take my calling very seriously as a pastor, teacher, evangelist to make sure that I'm spending time in prayer and in the Word. And that I'm doing everything God's Word says, because if not, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a man with many faces. And I told you before, there's been situations that I had to deal with. Pastors that, while in the pulpit for many years, having sex with women in their church. Sad. Drinking, taking drugs. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Pastors. And nobody knew until they were found out. Stealing money from the church. These are the things that happen in the pulpits of America and the world. So it's really important for me as a senior pastor and as a teacher of the Word of God to teach my staff, to teach my leadership, to make sure that I'm an example of what the Bible talks about. Not to speak with a forked tongue, you know, or double tongue. And lie to people. But you have to be honest and you have to have integrity. And I can't be messing with women. And I can't be messing with drugs. And I can't be messing with money. And you can't be prideful either. You have to be humble. And you can't say, I'm humbled. No, people will know. People will know. Your wife knows. Your children know. But imagine how sad it is for teachers and pastors and leaders and evangelists and people that are in the ministry, those that do not live in their home and they don't practice what they preach and they're total hypocrites and their children see it and confuse them. Think of how many kids have walked away from the church because of the parents. Because of the double standards. Don't do what I do. No, can't do that. Too much is given, much more is required. The first day you got saved and you got the light in your life, you are responsible. The greater judgment will be to you. That's what James says, the greater judgment. God's not going to mess around. One day, God's going to judge every pastor, every evangelist, every elder, every deacon, and every party in the congregation will be judged. Our sin already has been taken care of at Calvary. But there's a day coming where we're going to stand at the Bema seat of Christ and we're going to be tested to see what kind of a foundation we have. Wood, hay, stubble, you see? Gold or silver. If everything burns up and there's nothing left, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 16, he says, you'll be saved as by the fire because salvation is a free gift of God. Salvation's free. But you lost your rewards. You have nothing to show concerning your life. And I pray for leaders, and I pray for parents in their homes, because you are the leaders of your homes, to please do what you say. Be a doer of God's word. Be a hearer, be a doer. So your children can continue to walk with the Lord in the years to come. So they can see there's no hypocrisy, but there's truthfulness in our home. And the kids can say, what you see in my dad, that's what he is. Like Billy Graham, they said how many times when he was in the home, he was in the pulpit. That's where we got to be. All you have to do to find a person, talk to their children. You'll find out quickly what kind of a home they have. Kids speak up like nothing, man. They'll tell you the truth. So we need to be careful how we live. Because James says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. We are in great, great trouble because of who we are and what we have been called to be. So we need to be people of God. I'm going to stop there because there's, don't worry, we got a lot in here. We'll get next week. That little member, we got a lot to say about the little muscle in your mouth. Father, we thank you for your grace and love and mercies. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in us, to work through us, Lord. Thank you so much for these beautiful, wonderful people, Lord God, that we love so much. Lord, make us doers of your word. And Lord, help us to really be the type of people that you really want us to be, Father. Godly Lord. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody here visiting. Somebody brought you here. The Bible says that if we don't have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and he hasn't really forgiven us of our sins, that we're in trouble, we're going to hell. We're going to hell. If we die, we'll go to hell. But he gives us the opportunity that as we come to church or we hear a message, or somebody witnesses to us, that we have yet, that we get conviction in our hearts. And that conviction brings me to a consciousness that I have sinned against God and that I need to repent of my sins. And the word repent means to change your mind. To go one way and make a 180-degree turn and not go the other way. And so if you're here tonight and you want to repent, then you need to confess your sins to Him. And He'll hear you. And then He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you and wash you by His blood. And then He'll write your name in the book of life. And He'll give you the assurance that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven. And what's so beautiful is that His blood that He shed on Calvary, He will wash your sins away. He'll cast them as far as to the east, to the west, bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and never, ever again remember them ever again. And if there's anybody here tonight that would like to receive Jesus, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, whoever you are, I don't care who you are, I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet, to walk out here to the front, and I'm going to pray with you. Whoever you are, just get up and come now, right here to the front. We're going to worship. As we worship, get up and come. Anybody else before I pray? I just want to make sure you don't leave here without Christ. On your way to hell, but He wants to save you tonight. He wants to cleanse you and wash you. And He wants to write your name in the book of life. Awesome. Anybody else? Okay, for those of you that have come, we're going to pray right now, and I want you guys to pray with me a simple prayer and ask Jesus Christ into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. Cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith is my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See the guy right over there? You guys go right over there. Follow them, right, girls? Right through there. Awesome. 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 That's so cool.